We're in the middle of our Lenten series, Walking the Way of Jesus. And these weeks that lead up to Passion Week in his life are this journey of movement and walking. And we've invited you to bring up your walking sticks. And I'm impressed. I see one from Glacier National Park you've added, complete with a bear bell. This movement, this journey from one place to another. Today, Jesus makes plain the journey is about realizing another kingdom, another way of living is what we're being invited into. The 15th chapter of Luke has been called affectionately by some the lost and found chapter because Jesus rapid fire puts one parable story behind the next to communicate our God is seeking out what is lost. Whether that's a woman who clears out her house in search of a prized coin, or a sheep that's missing so the shepherd leaves the 99 in search of the one lost. Here's the way Jesus put a very fine point on his message. Then Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me someday." So he divided his property between the two sons. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him to the field to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and even more to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' And so he set off and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion and ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to his father, 'Oh, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, and get that fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field working, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves over to ask what was going on. The slave replied, 'Oh, your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he's gotten him back safe and sound.' Then the son became angry and refused to go into the party. His father came out and begged him, pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you've never given me even a small goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has now been found.'" The word of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. I want to do something I've never done before from the pulpit, and that is to absolve you from certain sin. We're talking about the... careful with that. We're talking about a parable this morning that is very familiar. How many have heard of the prodigal son? Yeah. Raise your hand. Okay. Okay, well, then I'm talking to some of you about this sin. And that is that, you know, when we hear a familiar scripture reading like you had today, and it was a little longer than some, and it starts out by, there was a family with two sons, and you recognize that's the prodigal son. And you have a tendency to start dozing off. Now, I was kind of checking when he was reading scripture, and I don't know if you know it, but from the standpoint of being up here, well, we can see you guys pretty well, you know. I haven't been up here lately, but it's kind of nice to see the front of people's faces again. And I just want to say, if you've been one who tends to doze off during scripture, I want to absolve you of that sin, because you know the story. So feel free of that sin. That absolution does not transfer over to during sermons, though. So keep that in mind. Let's see. I need to pick up a stone here. You know, one of the professors in seminary will tell you in preaching, don't overdo it with stories about your family. The kids don't like that. Your wife doesn't like that. But I got to tell you, there's some stuff that's just too good not to talk about. And a few days ago, I was, Sally and I were in the house, and she was talking to me for 2 or 3 minutes, and she finally said, "Are you working on your sermon?" Because I hadn't responded to anything. And I said, "Yeah, I guess I am." And I said, "You know, I'm at kind of a stopping point. I need to find a Petoskey stone. Do you remember where any of our Petoskey stones are? Because we've collected them over the years, as many of you have. But we're also in the middle of getting ready to move to a condo in a few weeks. And our house is a mess. And I figured we haven't run into them yet. And I said, "Do you know where the Petoskey stones are?" And she said, "You know, what do you need one for?" I said, "Well, for Sunday. I'm working on the sermon." And she said, I can't believe you're asking me that question. I said, "Really? Why?" She said, "Well, walk out there into the entryway. There's a little table right by the door. And there's a rather large tin container there. And that's where our Petoskey stones are." And I said, "Oh, really?" And, you know, I would have sworn they weren't there, because I do some of the house cleaning. And I'm used to doing some dusting and some vacuuming. And I go out there in that entryway and I'm moving that old table around, dusting under the pan. And if you'd asked me where are our Petoskey stones, I would have said, "Golly, you got me." So anyway, I was glad to find a Petoskey stone. Now, it doesn't look like a Petoskey stone, does it? This particular one was dug up, I believe it was in our family garden in Frankfurt when I was a kid. Dad loved to go hunting for Petoskey stones, and we'd usually find them around the edge of the Great Lakes, as you have done before. But you occasionally find them other places. And he said, "Yeah, that's a Petoskey stone." And I said, "Dad, doesn't look like a Petoskey stone to me." And so he said, "Come on in the garage, Johnny." And he had his saw in there, and he's got a diamond blade saw blade on the saw, and he cuts part of the stone off. And he says, "Take a look at that." And immediately you can see the pattern that we're used to of the Petoskey stone. Now, you can't see it too well from your distance because it's not all polished. But when you polish it, it looks something like this, as you see when you go in the grocery store. Anywhere downtown, you can find polished Petoskey stones, or you've got them somewhere in your house. But I want to talk a little bit about this stone, because it goes well with this scripture reading today. Because we're talking about the father opening his heart to this prodigal who's coming back after years, somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 or 30 years he's been gone. And we're talking about that kind of unconditional love, the father embracing the prodigal. And we're also talking about hard hearts, hard as a stone. The older son, who has been loyal to his father all along and now is feeling the anger and the jealousy of what his brother is getting, even though he has been gone and out of the house. And he shares that. And you think maybe that even as his brother left years ago, even though he said, "I'm staying because I want to be a part of this family business and a part of the family," I think maybe there was some jealousy even at that point, but maybe he also would like to have gone to a far off place to try to do something else. But the story says that he comes back, the prodigal comes back, he's welcomed in by the father. The brother is angry, but his dad calls for a party. And so they begin celebrating the return of the lost son. And that's the heart of the story, and reminds me of this stone, because we're talking about opening the heart to somehow get past the outside that gets hard, and you can't see the beauty until you open it up. And the Father is the one who is able to do that and welcome back the Son. It's a parable that we are very much familiar with, and I got a little reminder here that I want to be sure and share with you. The parable is of the lost returning, and it's easy to identify with these characters. We've talked about those three. There is a fourth character in the story, and that's you, and it's me. And what we need to do when we read the story or hear it told again and again is not simply stop being into it when it's done being read, and simply letting it go by as done and a nice story that we learned maybe when we were kids in church. Because by doing that, we're walking by the importance of it. Kind of like me walking by the table of stones and not even noticing. Have you walked by stuff before? Have you went on by and thought, "I didn't even know that was there. I didn't know that person was there. I wish I had done this. I wish I had done that." It's easy to do. But this story calls us to go beyond simply looking at it and saying, that's one of my favorite stories. Somebody says that, I ask them, "Well, what's so favorite about it?" And what I want you to try to do this morning is put yourself into the eyes, or see this parable with your eyes, but through the eyes of these characters. Because think about the prodigal when he comes back. He's been gone for, say, 20 years. And he's getting close to home. And scripture says that he sees his father, his father sees him at a long distance, a far distance. But after 20 years, maybe the father's eyes are a little blurry. And you're there, coming as a prodigal, and you see him before he sees you. And you start thinking, "Now I've got to make a decision. I found my way back. Do I go the last 100 yards and take the risk that if I see him doing this as I'm coming closer, am I imagining that when it's really this? And do I want to risk what he's going to say to me? He might run off the porch and come out there and say, 'Well, son, I bet you don't have a penny in your pocket anymore, do you? I bet you lost all that money I gave you. Probably went to the casinos and got rid of it all, didn't you?'" Have you ever heard yourself saying things like that to your kids or somebody else that you're disappointed with? imagine how you would feel as the prodigal thinking, I don't know what he's going to say. Well, I want you to think about times where you are the prodigal, where you have a place that you go far off sometimes. We can do that in the chair with a book. We can take a long walk, which can be very positive, but it also can be our way of getting away from things that are uncomfortable. And if we come back, if we are learning to come back, we've got to know that even though we know we are held in the hands of God and that unconditional love is what we are looking for, will we get it? And will we have the courage to do what it takes to begin to polish the stone? Or do we leave, go around the corner, and head back to where we came from? Now then, the other position is to look through the eyes of the Father. And he does see his son, and he finally recognizes him, and he says, geez, where did he come from? Do I want him back at my table? My other son is going to be getting in a fight with him as soon as he gets here. I'm not sure I want to be part of this. And I think we are in those situations too, where we know we need to go say something to this person or that person, or write that letter that we put off. But maybe we don't want to be in the position of having to deal with that. And maybe we aren't ready to be the giver of this unconditional love. Maybe it is hard for some of us, and maybe it was even hard for that father. But the example is to throw everything aside and go and greet that person, that thing, envelop it, and try to reconnect as the father did with the son. And of course, then there's the son, the older son, who is there and feeling this anger, because now he sees his brother is getting this party, and he hasn't had that, and he's angry. When do we feel that? When we feel maybe like we've worked a lot harder than the guy next door, and yet he's the one that's driving a nice car and going on nice vacations, and I'm getting up in the middle of the night to go to work, and I've worked over the years doing hard work, and I look at him and I think, when maybe I should sit down and talk with him, see about what's going on in his life, and try to see with clearer eyes what's going on for him. Well, these are the stories and the characters, and I invite you to try to do that. Look at it through the eyes of those characters, only using your story and being honest with yourself and the characters in your story. Now, there's one character here that Jesus does not include in this parable, and I can't believe it. I mean, I thought Jesus was a little sharper than that, but don't you wonder where the prodigal's mom is in all this? I mean, the guy's been gone for 20 years. I'd like to be a fly on the wall around that, when the family's around that table, and hear the conversation at various times during those years. I'll bet mom isn't silent out there in the kitchen. But Jesus doesn't put her in there. But there may be people in your story that are silent in your story, but have a whole lot to say, and you need to listen. And we can identify them as we go through our own selection of what we are going to do with the story, like the prodigal son. Well, I've got one other thing here. I want to check my phone. I'm not quite out of time yet. You know, As Chris said, I've not been preaching around here for a number of years, and so usually when we retirees get back in the pulpit, the local pastor is sitting there saying, "My God, when's he going to quit?" uh, So last point. So you don't walk by some of these times when there's a glimpse of the kingdom. Remember the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What Jesus is saying, we can experience glimpses of the kingdom in our lives. But sometimes we walk by them, as easy as we walk by a table of stones. We walk by them and miss them. And I want to tell you about one glimmer of the kingdom that I saw this week was on the evening news, NBC. Now, I know some of you say, "I don't even turn the news on anymore. It's terrible." But when we do that, we miss things. And the thing that I picked up on at the end of the news, they showed a clip of a mother and her child in the grocery store. And they've come up to the counter where the checkout person is there. And mom's put the stuff on the table, on the counter, and the basket is here in front of her, and her little girl is out there on the other side of the checkout counter where the things are coming off the cashier's table. And so this little girl can hardly see up over the counter, and she's got this big smile on her face, and she's staring at this big guy who to her down there must look 10 feet tall. And he's starting to push the things through the cash register, and all the bells and whistles are going off, of course. And I'm sure he probably was just waiting to get out of there and get home and put his feet up and enjoy a little time by himself. And he sees this little girl down there, and geez, she's right there, and she's kind of all excited. And he finally says, "Honey, would you like to help?" And she says, "Oh, I would love to help." And so he gets a couple of bags and puts them over there in front of her, and then starts handing the stuff to her. After he gets it, he hands it to her, and she puts it in the bag. She's so proud of herself, and she puts the bag in the cart and gets another bag and fills that up. And mom's paying the bill now. The little girl is still standing there, hands on the counter, looking up at this guy with a big smile. And her mom's ready to go, and she says to this guy, "I love you. I love you so much." And he just smiles, and they go on out. And about 3 days later, they followed up and made another little flip. The mom did. And she's taking this video of her daughter, and she says, "How would you like to go back to the grocery store?" "Oh, yeah." And she says, we'll maybe see the man." And she said, "Maybe you could give him a hug." And she said, "Oh, okay, I can do that." And so the next part of it is they're walking them back into the grocery store, coming home. And the guy is, and he knows they're coming, and he looks down there and he sees them. And he steps out from behind the counter, gets down on one knee, and she sees him, and boom, she's flying across that floor as fast as she can go, about minus 1 mile an hour. And just as she gets to this guy, she leaps up in the air, and he grabs her, and they give this big bear hug. And all I can tell you is that's a modern-day depiction of the prodigal son story. And those are the kind of kingdom moments that we tend to miss if we don't have our eyes open and our ears awake and if we're not paying attention. So my hope for us today and in the future is that we can go into our lives with eyes more open, ears more attentive, and looking for those kingdom moments to remind us of the goodness of life. And the ability of all of us to share that love that the Father shared to the Son in this story. Go and mimic that story. Amen.